This is Ed Mazur, chairman of the City Club of Chicago. Our speaker today, which kicked off the 2019 City Club season, was Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson, who's starting his fourth year as superintendent of the Chicago Police Department. Eddie Johnson was introduced by Mayor Rahm Emanuel, who, by the way, brought us six boxes of Oreo cookies because of the Mondelez move to Chicago. In fact, there are now 69 food companies that have moved into Chicago during his terms as Chicago mayor. Superintendent Johnson began his talk by talking about the reduction in homicides in the city of Chicago. 97 fewer homicides in 2018 and a drop of almost 28% in the last 2 years. He talked about some new technologies that the city will be receiving, including 200 license plate readers that will be put into Chicago Police Department patrol cars. He said this should have a dramatic impact on the number of carjackings that have been occurring in the city of Chicago. By July of this year, there will be 1,000 new officers equipped with body cameras and tasers on the streets of the city of Chicago. Under his administration, he said, we've tried to move the police department, and he said it's not easy to move an institution with tradition and 13,000 members from a reactive to a proactive position. Police, he said, should be part of a neighborhood, not parachuted in every 8 hours and parachuted out every 8 hours. He talked about the concept of not only answering 911 calls, but of giving back, of getting involved in the city of Chicago. He also said that 2018 was a very difficult year for the family of Chicago Police Department. Four officers were killed in the line of duty, and there was one suicide. He talked about the field training officers being the keys in making the new police officers responsible, productive. There will be five counselors currently in the EAP programs, but this will increase to 10 in just a few months. New technologies, new commitments to community policing. He said, for example, two of the districts, the 7th District or Englewood and the 4th District, have had their fewest shootings since 1999. The department confiscated almost 10,000 guns from the streets in 2018. He said that comes out to one illegal gun picked up every hour in 2018. He said the police department will lobby to help the gun dedicated registration bill become law. It was defeated in Springfield in the last session. By January of 2020, every police officer in the city of Chicago will receive 40 hours of advanced training in such areas as mental disabilities, autism, and so on. The question he was asked was, what are the relationships between the police department and the Cook County State's Attorney's Office? And Superintendent Johnson said, we have never had better relationships. The department is releasing a 52-page document called their new strategic planning document, which will be filled with mission statements and vision statements, replacing those that are 20 years old. The focus, he said, will be on public safety, building community trust, professional development, organizational excellence, looking at ourselves on a regular basis and saying, what can we do to be better? He said that witnesses will only come forth to testify if they feel the CPD is fair and responsive. So he said, we must become smarter, more transparent, and more effective. It's a long road, he says, but it will be worth it. And the journey of a 1,000 miles, he said, begins one step at a time.
Ladies and gentlemen, the mayor of all of Chicago, the most American of American cities, Mayor Rahm Emanuel. Mayor?
Thank you, Jay. A couple things, if I could. First, on the back table, I've put six boxes of Oreo cookies. And since Mondelez is a new member of the Chicago corporate community, bringing 400 jobs to the city of Chicago, I wanted to welcome a new company to the city of Chicago. by making sure that, Jay, you cannot have any more double-dip Oreo cookies. That's off the 2019 diet. It's off everybody's diet. But I want to congratulate Mondelez for picking Chicago as their new corporate headquarters. In a shameless plug for the city of Chicago, this now joins ConAgra that moved from Omaha and brought 1,200 jobs. Kraft Heinz that is now splitting the headquarters between the city of Chicago and Pittsburgh, McDonald's, ADM, but there's now 69 food companies that have either expanded or dramatically or moved their headquarters to the city of Chicago, and those 400 jobs, I think, in the new corporate headquarters will be a significant contribution, but we brought you the Oreo cookies. This is our way of saying thank you and welcome home to the city of Chicago. Before I introduce my good friend Eddie Johnson, I want to say something about my good friend Janice Jackson. If you didn't see it yesterday, Chicago for the sixth consecutive year was ranked as the number one advanced placement school district in the United States of America. And that means, first of all, there's two very significant things. One is we have dramatically increased the amount of children taking advanced or students taking advanced placement, and over 50% of our kids pass a test and then therefore get college credit. It's very unusual not only to expand but then to have your margins go up dramatically, and that's not only some kids but all kids, and specifically kids of color. The city of Chicago leads the United States of America, and those kids then are more likely to go to college and advance to college. And I want to thank Dr. Jackson for being here. And more than just here, for leading the school district to be the gold standard of what an urban school district can be here. And I actually think it speaks volumes, because every problem that Superintendent Johnson's trying to solve actually gets solved earlier at a better price and a better direction if Dr. Jackson and our teachers are doing and have the resources to do their job. And the truth is, her being here speaks incredibly about the partnership we have between Chicago Public Schools and Chicago Police District, making sure that all our kids are safe. And when they're on their way to school, they're not thinking about their safety, but they're thinking about their studies. And I want to thank her. She's not just here as a friend and a colleague of Superintendent Johnson. She's here because she knows that safety is a key component to making sure our kids get to school and get to school on time. Janice, thank you for being here. So the superintendent and I just came from an announcement this morning. We are adding 200 license plate readers to our police cars. Today there are only 44 in the city of Chicago, and we started with 50 today. Every month for the next 4 months, we'll be adding another 50, and every police district across the city has two. They're going to go at a minimum to getting six, and that means if you carjack a car, steal a car, we have our eyes on you. And as I would like to also say, we now know your number. That speaks volumes of what the superintendent and his leadership team have done. On Saturday, we added another 99 officers. At the end of this month, we'll be adding another 100 officers. In February, another 100 officers. In April, another 100 officers. We'll be adding all the way through July, bringing our total on time, on schedule, 1,000 new officers to the city of Chicago, everybody with body cameras, everybody with tasers, 200 more license plate readers, the whole district, citywide. We'll have the new strategic support centers across the city. But it's not about just technology. Now, this March will mark the three-year anniversary that I asked Superintendent Johnson to become Superintendent Johnson, and the city council voted on him within 5 days, 50-0. And I say that because it shouldn't be lost on anybody. He took over at a very serious, challenging time for the city of Chicago. It's one thing to make changes. It's another thing to get results. It's another thing to make serious structural, cultural changes, and simultaneously, over the two-year period, see dramatic reduction in gun violence and on your watch. To both make reforms, changes that also do not have the first casualty be public safety, is a tremendous statement about Superintendent Johnson's leadership and his ability to bring professionalism and the type of police department we can all be very proud of. And I want to say, well, I've made a lot of appointments of individuals that I'm very proud of, one of them being Dr. Jackson. I am immensely proud that I asked the superintendent at a very challenging time for the city of Chicago to step forward, take the helm of the police department, make changes that reflected our values and our views, and change also not just the total headcount, but change the way we see a police department, what we ask of an officer. And the biggest change I think he's made, not just in the sense of better training, better technology, better talent, is that he took it from a police department that was reactive to one that is proactive. And he basically said that if it's predictable, it's preventable. And then when you take away and strip away all the toys and all the technology and all the shot spotters and license plate, he has shown that if you actually can measure something, predict it, you can then prevent it. And then he's applied throughout this entire police department that philosophy. We just closed out 2018 with 97 fewer homicides. In 2017, there were 116 fewer homicides. We've closed out with 28% over the last 2 years fewer shootings and homicides. And he's done it in a way where actually the police department and the rank and file are proud to be police officers and proud to be part of the city of Chicago. We don't want them just policing and patrolling a neighborhood. We want them to be part of a neighborhood. And he has done a tremendous job in bringing the Chicago Police Department into the 21st century to reflect the entire city and the values that we have as a city. He's not only a good friend, he's somebody that I think is a true Chicago and lives, breathes, and eats Chicago. Our police superintendent, Eddie Johnson.
So good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. And thanks to CPD's greatest supporter, Mayor Rahm Emanuel, for that gracious introduction. It's an honor for me once again to be here in front of you all addressing the City Club of Chicago as the superintendent of what I think is the greatest police department in this country. Before I get started, though, I do want to echo something that the mayor touched on, and that's the fact that I think that just looking at it from a personal perspective and professional perspective, Dr. Janice Jackson has been a great partner for me as well as CPD, because as the mayor stated, and this is true, and you all really need to pay attention to that, the better that she does in the Chicago public school system makes my life and the life of 13,000 men and women that much easier, because it is critical that we get these kids to a point in their lives where they can self-sustain and be educated and not be part of the problem, but part of the solution. So, Dr. Jackson, thank you. I'm responsible for the 13,000 men and women who protect our safety, our property, and our rights each and every day. However, the well-being of our city is a responsibility that we all bear as Chicagoans. Well, I also want to thank Maggiano's for hosting this event today, and I hope up to wrap up after we talk with plenty of time to indulge in one of those many cannolis that I see they're serving for dessert. As the mayor said, I've served the city as a police officer for 3 decades. Chicago is my home. I was raised in Cabrini Green until the age of 9, at which time my family moved to the south side of Chicago, where I continue to reside. In April of 2016, Mayor Emanuel appointed me as superintendent of the second largest police agency in the United States. I joined the Chicago Police Department to make a difference. It might sound corny, but honestly, I really felt like I could help make the streets safer, solve crimes, and keep troublemakers from making more trouble for the good people living on every block in the city of Chicago. And I still believe this. And I'm not the only one. Every day, I encounter police officers with the same motivation. They're driven to make things better in every Chicago neighborhood. These police officers often encounter citizens on their worst days. Their job, the police officers, is to de-escalate the situation, keeping all of us safe in the process, and they do it to the best of their abilities every day. Now, besides responding to 911 calls, officers throughout the city also go out of their way to collect canned goods, toys, and clothing for people in need. They often know the recipients personally from interactions that they encounter on their daily duties. But the notion of giving back goes beyond organizing these larger food and toy drives. Sometimes it's as simple as an officer buying a hot chocolate for a child on a cold day. And that happened last week at North Avenue in Sedgwick in the 18th District, where I used to live. Now, this small gesture filled the hearts of everyone in that donut shop that encountered or observed what happened that day. And it's stories like that that keep me and 13,000 other police officers going. 2018 was a difficult year for CPD. Four Chicago police officers were killed in the line of duty. Commander Paul Bauer and Officers Samuel Jimenez, Eduardo Marmaleo, and Conrad Gary. All of them made the ultimate sacrifice protecting the citizens of this good city. Now, I knew Paul personally because he was a member of my command staff. The three other officers I knew through shared experiences. And that's because I was once in their shoes. I remember graduating from the academy, being assigned to my first district, and learning the ins and outs of police work from experienced officers eager to pass along their knowledge and experiences. All of these men died heroes, and their sacrifice will never be forgotten by the Chicago Police Department or the city of Chicago. Now, along with the dangers that our officers encounter in the streets every day, we, police officers, also struggle with the challenges that, unfortunately, very few learn about until it's too late. Five Chicago police officers took their lives last year, and another officer committed suicide last week on New Year's Day. These heartbreaking stories remind us all of the strain that this job can place on families and individuals. Now, while police work is often a calling for the men and women in our ranks, it can also be a thankless job. CPD has five counselors in its employee assistance program, and that's to help those in need. And we'll soon more than double that number to provide even more help to those officers. Increasing our efforts to make mental health services available to those individuals who put on a blue or white shirt every day and pin a star to their chest and go out on patrol remains a priority to me as well as the command staff. Now, 2018 was also a year of progress as the Chicago Police Department continued to make strides to reduce crime citywide. Overall crime was down 8% last year compared to 2017. This overall reduction was a result of fewer murders, robberies, burglaries, and motor vehicle thefts. Now, these figures are not just an anomaly, but rather are part of a larger trend over a two-year period of time beginning in 2016. Overall crime in Chicago is down 10% since that period. Now, I'm convinced that this is a result of investments in new technology and a renewed commitment to community policing, which is a philosophy of the department now and not a strategy. On the technology side, CPD rolled out its strategic decision support centers in 13 out of our 22 police districts. By the end of 2019, this year, these support centers will exist in either 20 or all 22 of our districts. These digital nerve centers use mobile technology, crime cameras, and in certain districts, gunshot detection systems to more quickly notify dispatchers and police of incidents. This leads to improved apprehension of offenders. It also allows officers to better gauge problem areas, allowing them to proactively deter crime with more frequent patrols in hotspot areas. Now, this same data-driven model has also played a significant role in reducing the number of shootings throughout the city. Shootings were down 14% last year compared to 2017. This decline is also part of a trend, as shootings are down 32% over the last two-year period beginning in 2016. Now, further breakdown of these numbers shows 22 out of our last 24 months posted declines in shootings versus the same period the month versus the same month the year before. And two districts, the 4th District on the south side in South Chicago and the 7th District, Inglewood, had the fewest shooting incidents last year going back as far as 1999, the fewest. We'll also soon be rolling out similar technology centers for our detectives to gather and review video evidence to help them improve our clearance rates. But technology alone isn't solely responsible for the drop in shootings. Part of the decline is also due to the incredible partnerships and support of the community and old-fashioned police work. As CPD officers took a record number of guns off the streets in 2018, 9,800. Now, this is the largest number of gun seizures in Chicago in at least the last 5 years. And to put it in perspective, that's more than one illegal gun seized off the streets of Chicago for every hour of last year. Now, the bulk of these seizures were semi-automatic handguns, but nearly 200 of them were assault-style weapons, including AK-47s and AR-15s. I believe this provides all the evidence lawmakers should need to implement common sense gun laws, like the gun dealer licensing bill, which hopefully will be revisited by the governor-elect in Springfield in the coming weeks. Now, of course, shootings are also tied to murders. And Chicago had nearly 100 fewer murders in 2018 compared to 2017, and that's a 14% reduction. Now, again, this is not a flash in the pan. It's part of an ongoing trend, as murders in Chicago have declined 27% for the two-year period beginning in the year 2016. Now, I firmly believe that most of 2018's improvements can be attributed to more officers on the street, as well as the technology and community partnerships. The mayor pledged in 2016 to grow the department by 970 officers in 2 years. Now, I'm happy to report to you all that we've actually hired 2,352 officers in the last 2 years, as we've met our goal of 970 new officers and replaced officer attrition, as well as backfill promotions. These officers are among the first to undergo a new training curriculum that's based on scenarios that these officers will face on the streets of Chicago. And a renewed commitment to training isn't just for the new recruits. Veteran CPD officers began attending continuing education courses in the year of 2017. By 2021, 40 hours of supplemental training would be required annually for every Chicago police officer. Now, this effort is part of a series of reforms spelled out in the upcoming consent decree. I'm also excited about a pilot program where Chicago police will learn from residents in the communities that they serve. The District Collaboration Officer Program began in New York City in 2015, and I traveled there many times to look at it and see how it could complement what we were trying to do in Chicago. It recognizes that officers are often called away to deal with emergencies, and that actually prohibits them from having meaningful conversations with citizens on a daily basis. This program came to Chicago on the 1st of January in the 25th District, or Grand and Central District, and it gives officers the opportunity to interact with the residents. And I want to thank Commander Anthony Escamilla, sitting up here in the front, for taking on that project. Under this program, we're keeping cops within their beats and freeing them from radio calls to give them more time to interact with community members. District collaboration officers will then coordinate with patrol officers, detectives, and other city agencies to see that those needs that those communities have are addressed. The goal is to find solutions to persistent neighborhood problems, and I want to acknowledge all the help and support for the New York Police Department, Northwestern University, and New York University Policing Project for helping us get this pivotal partnership off the ground. Now, with all of that, I firmly believe that CPD is on the road to ensuring that we have the best prepared officers of any city in the country. but we can't do it by ourselves. Thus, our department has been deliberate in partnerships with state, federal agencies, including the state police, ATF, DEA, and FBI, and our new U.S. Attorney, John Lausch. Now, by the way of example, Chicago police were part of a joint investigation into gun and drug trafficking in September in the Little Village neighborhood alongside the U.S. Attorney's Office. Through our combined efforts, 20 individuals now face federal charges. 445 grams of heroin were seized, along with 230 grams of cocaine and almost $100,000 in illegal drug proceeds. Now, I go so far as to say the Chicago Police Department has never had a better relationship with the U.S. Attorney's Office than we do as I stand here today. But all of that is just a recap on where we've been. Yesterday, the mayor and I unveiled a plan that for the department outlining where we're going in the next 3 years. I sat down yesterday with officers and command staff from throughout the city to walk them through our plan for strategic change in the Chicago Police Department. This 52-page document that they received yesterday does not replace or undermine the work that's been already done in the Chicago Police Department, but it was done to develop community partnerships, reduce violence, and build trust. Rather, it serves as a roadmap to continue transformation for the Chicago Police Department. And it'll help us get to be a department that everyone in the city can be proud of, and a department that can be emulated across the United States of America. The process to establish this strategic plan dates back to October of 2017, and it includes input from more than 900 individuals. Now, this list includes department chiefs, frontline officers, residents, city leaders, and national experts in policing. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if some of you in the audience today were tapped for your input also. The end result is a new mission statement, vision statement, and core values. CPD's mission statement hadn't been updated since the 1990s, and the department has never produced an accompanying vision statement. The Chicago Police Department's new mission statement is simply to serve our communities and protect the lives, rights, and property of all people in Chicago. Our vision is now clear. All Chicagoans are safe, supported, and proud of the Chicago Police Department. That sounds good, right? but what does any of that really mean? Well, to achieve this vision and mission, the department has laid out four primary areas of commitment. And they're public safety, community trust, professional development, and operational excellence. We have further broken these four pillars down into specific goals. As for the public safety, this is the core mission of any police department. Under this pillar, CPD has committed to several strategies. Some of these include the continued reduction of shootings, homicides, and other violent and property crimes. We also want to improve our clearance rate for cases and continue to strengthen our partnerships with other law enforcement agencies. Community trust is another pillar for our department that we just cannot succeed without. We have to safeguard our neighborhoods, and without the trust and support of the communities that we're sworn to protect, we can't achieve that goal. Now, I recognize in some areas throughout Chicago, residents and often disadvantaged populations are unwilling to trust the police department. The verdict in the trial of Chicago police officer Jason Van Dyke brought this issue to the forefront of everyone in the city. Many of the community organizers that I spoke with after the verdict was handed down said they felt like the trial validated some long simmering issues that they had with the police department. All these people want is to be heard. They want their pain to be validated and recognized. They simply want respect. And we owe them that respect. And part of that respect is to trust those within these often overlooked communities and do the right thing. That's all we have to do. After all, police can't do this job alone. Witnesses only come forward when they can trust that their concerns will be addressed, properly addressed, by the police department and not ignored. Professional development is another pillar that I've already touched on, and some of the improvements made when it comes to training our police force. A few additional points on this pillar include adding online courses to make our continuing education classes more convenient for our existing officers. One other small but very important improvement to our professional development is establishing a formal mentorship program for our sergeants, because they'll be our next leaders. They'll be our next superintendent. Operational excellence is our final pillar, and this is essentially CPD looking in the mirror and asking ourselves, what can we do better as an organization? One of those areas is the need to implement a more comprehensive performance management system. This includes rethinking our CompStat program and ensuring we have a measurement system across the agency that are aligned to what we are attempting to achieve with our strategies. It also includes enhancing our technology capabilities by investing in talent management and case management systems. We have a responsibility to offer smarter, more effective, and more transparent ways of operating within the CPD. Now, of course, none of this is easy. The road to change is never easy. And the police department, quite frankly, will face many challenges along the way. But it's worth it. It's worth it to fight for the city that all of us live in, where I was raised, where I raised a family. And it's worth it for the police department that means so much to me. It's worth it to fight for the families and businesses that proudly tell other people they live and work in the city of Chicago. Now, I have the same sense of pride, and I'm sure that many of you sitting out in the audience today share that. Now, I know although things are improving, there's still a lot more work to be done. We need to continue to reduce the shootings and homicides and other violent crimes. We also need to keep our eyes on burglaries, robberies, and car thefts. And we need to do all of this with an empathy that will endear ourselves, the Chicago Police Department, to the communities that we serve. Now, as I mentioned earlier, making this city safer for all the residents is a collaborative effort that's not a problem that we can just arrest our way out of. Our work will never be done, but together, I hope that we can someday get to a place where we'll no longer be solely focused on the number of murders and shootings, and instead talk about the number of block clubs that were launched and the number of college scholarships offered to CPS students living within the city of Chicago. So I just want to say in closing, thank you all for your time this afternoon. And as always, stay safe. And now I think I'll take one of those mini cannolis that's on the table.
Thank you very much, Superintendent Johnson. And this is Amanda, our executive director. Amanda, we have to make sure they have some cannolis. Don't forget, there are 25 districts. I don't know how many other. Okay. Wow. You know, when I was a civilian instructor at the Training Academy many, many years ago, Superintendent Johnson was in one of my classes, and one day he came in about 2 minutes late after their lunch break, and I had to send him down to the duty desk if I knew he would be superintendent. Please forgive me for that. Okay.
I was trouble that day.
Oh, yeah.
Trouble.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anyhow,
remember that.
I do. We have a number of questions here. So let's get started. This is from Marie Poppy, who's a City Club member. Marie, are you out here? Right back there. She lives in Lakeview. What can be done to curb the number of car hijackings that can occur anywhere in the city?
Okay, well, I think the mayor touched on it, but the license plate reader vehicles will be a pivotal point in deterring that, because now these officers can respond in real time to carjackings and things of that nature. But I think more importantly, we as citizens, we have to pay attention to what's going on around us. Of course, we can put more police officers out there and more technology, but the honest truth is we can't be in every alley, on every corner, and every street in the city of Chicago. So it has to be a joint effort, what the police do and what citizens do. And when you all see things that don't look right, call us. Because a lot of times, God gave you those instincts for a reason. Really did. And it might seem small to you at the time, but when you all call us and give us this information, we quickly, you know, respond to those locations and apprehend those offenders. But I think that the license plate readers will go a long way to helping us deter it.
Okay, this is from City Club member Theodore Manuel, 88 years young. Ted, where are you today? Okay. His question, Superintendent, the department is short of detectives. It appears non-detectives are made detectives without detective training. He uses that word a lot. If true, this defies logic. Can you explain what is happening with the Detective Bureau?
Okay, so in the last couple of years, we've promoted roughly about 300 new detectives. So we're way up from where we were when I stepped in 2016. But what you have to remember about detectives, they don't come in as detectives. We pluck them out of patrol. So there's a training curve. We send them through training, and to be quite honest, like a homicide detective, it takes a while before they really get good at their craft. So you're right, they aren't detectives prior to. They're patrolmen that take the test, and then we have to train them up. But that's in any agency. You know, you don't come in as a detective. We have to train you up to that. But I think we've gotten the detective division at a point now where they can start handling those caseloads a little bit better. But there's still more work to do in the detective division. But the manpower was an issue, and we've addressed that.
Okay. This is from David Deal with the Chicago History Museum. Interesting question. Could you comment on the relationship between crime in Chicago and its impact on tourism with any statistics you may have? You may not have the statistics, but the relationship between crime and tourism, since it's such a big mover in the city of Chicago.
That's a great question. Okay, so in terms of crime and tourism, we have not seen that our crime issues impact tourism in the city. I mean, when you look at especially our violent crime, it's really concentrated in pockets on the south and west sides. Most tourists come here to see the downtown area. It hasn't impacted it. I think last year we had about, 55 million tourists come in, which is higher than we've had. So clearly that shows that it isn't impacting it, but we have to just do a better job of reducing our crime everywhere in the city, not just the downtown area where tourists often frequent, but it's our job to reduce crime in all parts of the city of Chicago.
Okay, thank you. This is from Joel Hammernick with Sunshine Enterprises. Joel, where are you, City Club member? Back there. He's a Woodlawn resident. He says, we've had more than a dozen commanders in 15 years. If we can't slow the rotation, how can we build trust and social capital needed to work together?
So that is a great question. And you are not the only one to bring that to my attention. So let me try to explain this quickly to you all so there'll be some kind of understanding. In the last several years, we've had a lot of command staff members retire. And when you have that, it takes some years before you can stabilize the command structure. So given that, I would say probably, hopefully, in the next couple years, it'll be stabilized to the point that we can leave commanders in certain districts for periods of time. You know, like I was the commander of the 6th District for 4 years, and I think that's about the sweet spot for that. Because remember, in order to fill the deputy chief and the chief's ranks, we have to pull them from command positions. So although I do recognize we need the stability in those districts, I certainly don't want to not give people promotions because I want them to stay in a certain place for a period of time. But I think as long as we keep trending the way that we are, we should be able to stabilize the command structure in about a year or two.
I know that we have a couple of members of the command structure here, in addition to Commander Escamilla over at Grand Central, so we want to recognize those folks also. Thank you for the job that you're doing, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, we have enough questions. We could be here for a week. This is from Joan. I'm going to butcher her last name. I apologize. Pernica. She's in the left rear over there. Joan wants to know, how are the police dealing with the new practices in bond court, where many charged individuals are being released on I bonds or very low bonds?
I have to be careful with this.
Absolutely.
You would ask that question, wouldn't you? Okay, so the short answer is this. You know, we're here to enforce the laws and the policies that are placed before us. So I will be honest in telling you this. If an officer chases a guy two blocks with an illegal weapon, falls down, rips his uniform up, has to struggle with this guy, and eventually recovers the weapon and arrests him, let's say it's Tuesday. It's not fun for them when they see this same guy back out on Thursday doing the same thing. It's a frustration. It's a frustration. But I think that's something that, you know, the police department and our judicial partners and lawmakers need to really sit down and take a hard look at. Because the honest truth is this. With violent offenders, I don't think you'll find many police officers that have an issue with those individuals being on home monitoring or getting bonds. But the violent offenders, the violent people in this city, we need to send a strong message to them that if you commit these violent acts within this city, you'll be held accountable, period. And I don't think letting them right back out is the way to do it. I really don't. I think the way to do it is to send that strong message that if you commit these acts in this city, you'll be held accountable. So I think at some time we have to have some common sense conversation about that and figure this out.
Okay, thank you. We'll give you some easy ones now. I'm combining a couple questions here. This is from Bobby Zabel, City Club member. Bobby, where are you? Okay. And from Don Schollenberger, City Club member. They're both, I think, Northside residents. So the question is about flash mobs and gangs and the steady stream of assaults and mayhem at the Chicago and State Red Line Station. How does the PD work with the CTA police on patrolling CTA stations?
So I'm fully aware of the issues over in that area. So when you go through there in the evenings and at late at night, you'll see officers actually stationed at that particular L stop. As far as the train lines themselves, you know, the mayor in Dover Carter, the chairman of CTA, I put up a ton of high definition cameras. So the downtown areas are going to have the ability to monitor those cameras within their districts. We do a great job of partnering with CTA security. You know, many of the police officers that you see are actually Chicago police officers working supplemental details. But then we also have the mass transit police officers that are always constantly rotating around, riding the L lines as well as the bus lines. So we take a robust attitude towards that. Those large groups of teens that I don't want to say frequently, but that sometimes come down. And I think the answer to that is, you know, when we can catch them, then we arrest them and hold them accountable. You know, that's like the recent policy enacted by Water Tower Place. You know, you hate to see things like that, but at the same time, they have a responsibility as well as CPD to ensure the safety of everyone. And the message is, if you want to come anywhere in this city and cause mayhem or create issues, we're going to arrest you and hold you accountable for it, period.
Thank you. Okay, this is from a former federal prosecutor, Dwayne Deskins. Dwayne, where are you? Right over there.
Not this gentleman.
You know this gentleman? Okay. Okay. First he starts off, you know, he sandbags. Chief, thank you for your service.
Okay.
Now you get ready for the curveball. With the clearance rate so low, especially involving violent crimes, and the legitimate fear of retribution being high, how do you protect witnesses?
Okay, so that's a two-part question. So we work with the state's attorney's office to offer witnesses, potential witnesses, protections in the city of Chicago. You know, if we need to relocate them to other places, we do. And we often see things of this nature with our younger witnesses, like in the CPS school system. So we'll work with Dr. Janice Jackson and her team to put those individuals in different schools if we have to. But as far as the clearance rate goes, let me explain that a little bit here, because I think we have to do a better job of educating people on what the clearance rate actually is. So our overall clearance rate right now is about 43%. So with the clearance rate in terms of murders, what you have to understand is most murders are not solved in that particular calendar year. They're just not. There's too much to go through, especially if it happens from, let's say, July towards the end of the year. It's normally not going to be cleared until that next year. So the clearance rate is actually combined with the current year that you're in, along with the murders that you saw from previous years. So when you look at it in those terms, I think our clearance rate, like I said, last year we ended out at about 43%. Now, that's not where I want it to be. But I think the things that we're doing, let me give you all this little nugget. So with our strategic plan that we outlined yesterday and rolled out to our officers, one of the stats, when you all see it, you will see, and it's on page 8. That's a tip and a clue. It's on page 8 when you see it. Look at the graphics in there, and what you will see is all the overall crime in Chicago going down, right, significantly. What you will see going up significantly is the calls for service. Now, most people will be baffled by that, but the reason that the calls for service are going up so much is because the trust that we lost, we're now regaining. So people are more inclined to call the police, as, you know, a few years ago, they weren't calling to report certain things. So I think that certainly we can do better with the clearance rate, which is why we're investing in area tech centers now. I brought in national experts to look at how we're doing things, you know, partnering with the state's attorney. And I have to give Kim Fox a shout out, because we have a very good partnership in terms of what CPD can do better to better provide the information that the attorneys need to prosecute these cases. So I can tell you, when we close out 2019, our clearance rate will be even better. But it's not as dismal as it's made out to be.
Okay, thank you. So this is about the consent decree. It's from David Duar with Tax-Free Retirement Solutions. Boy, if you can believe that. Okay.
Okay.
Are you concerned with the final version of the CPD consent decree? And will it inhibit the CPD to actively serve and protect Chicago communities and the public?
So listen, from day one, I have said CPD needs to get better. We do a lot of things great, but there were some things we didn't do so great. And that's just the honest truth. You know, did we treat some communities inappropriately? Yes. We did. And to ignore it means you'll never fix that problem. So I acknowledge it. We own it. And we have to do better at that. So as far as the consent decree impacting our ability to keep the public safe, I don't think that'll happen. We've known about this consent decree for the last 2 years. So we're prepared mentally to have to deal with it. As a matter of fact, the consent decree will make us better, because it will ensure that we will continue to get the resources and the training that's necessary for CPD to be a model agency. Now, will some of it be painful? Yeah. You know, I've been a cop 30 years. So, I mean, you know, when you do something that long, you get accustomed to doing things a certain way. That doesn't mean that way was always the best way. So our challenge is to ensure that we do things the best way. So we're not afraid of the consent decree. As a matter of fact, we say bring it on and let's get down to business.
Now, this is from Salvatore Martinez, CPD retired.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, is right. Superintendent Johnson, on the police radio log, the superintendent's car is number 3. Is that true?
That's true.
The finance committee chairman is number 2. And the mayor is number 1. Is there any consideration to moving you up and the others down? You are number 1 in my book.
Salvatore, wherever you are, only a police officer would know that and bring that out. But you are correct. The mayor is car 1. The finance committee chairman is car 2, and then the superintendent is car 3. But it's funny because I think Salvatore must have a bug in my car because on the way over here, we were actually discussing that. Yep, we were actually discussing that. So, Sal, what I would say to you is let's see what happens. But we're definitely considering that.
Okay. Wow, City Club, we're always on the breaking edge. It's just unbelievable. This is from Nora Handler, City Club member. Does the crisis intervention team training include training in intellectual disabilities and autism?
Yes, it does. The crisis intervention training covers all of that. So let me just explain that real quickly. So we have police officers that are certified in crisis intervention training. So those are the officers that are called to respond to incidents where we know we have mental health challenges. And then every Chicago police officer goes through a block of mental health awareness and training so that they can observe it, spot it, and then call in the crisis intervention officers when necessary. But everything under that umbrella is included into that training.
Very good. Okay, we just have time for a couple more questions. This is from Ogagua Iwelu. How interested is the CPD in deploying non-traditional methods in curbing black youth gang and violence problems in Chicago?
Boy, I got to give him a shout out for being able to pronounce that name like that. Listen, I have, since I became superintendent, I'm open to everything. And if you have suggestions or recommendations in that area, then I will certainly entertain whatever it is you have to offer, because we just have a responsibility to our youth. Because, listen, we were all youth one day, you know, in the past also. And now we're all sitting and standing here today. So we have a responsibility, because those are going to be the next individuals standing at this podium and filling these seats. So the better job we do with them on the front end, then the less the Chicago Police Department will have to deal with them on the back end. So if you have suggestions or recommendations, I'd be glad to sit down with you and hear you out.
Okay, we have a couple more questions. This name's a lot easier. Charlie Gardner, who's retired. His question is about Chicago's status as a sanctuary city. How has that impacted what the department does?
You know, our status as a sanctuary city really doesn't impact us. I think it impacts cities on the borders more than it does the city of Chicago. You know, we welcome everyone to the city. I mean, let's face it, this country is built on immigrants. You know, it is. You know, so the sanctuary city status doesn't cause problems for CPD whatsoever. You know, we very seldom run into undocumented individuals where they're committing really violent crimes. We very seldom run into that. And when we do, then we handle it accordingly. But no, it hasn't impacted us at all.
Okay, and final question. In the current politically charged environment here in Chicago, how do you go about maintaining your composure and your good health, stress reduction, as well as covering your officers' backs and your own as well? 25 words or less.
So listen, with the current political environment, look,
I've been a cop for 30 years and lived in this city all of my life. I focus on what we need to do as a police agency to make this city safer and better for everyone. The politics of it, I let that do what it does. And at the end of the day, I'm focused on CPD and keeping this city safe, so I don't worry about that.
Folks, let's give Superintendent Johnson a big round of applause.